Let us pray. Most holy Christ, speak to us this night. And may we have ears to hear. Amen. You may be seated. Merry Christmas. Merry White Christmas. Look at you all. All of you here defying what is known about Seattle, that snow makes us all retreat into a cave somewhere. But as I said to 7:30, maybe you're all from somewhere else. Many of us are. It's good to have you here, especially as we celebrate this most holy night. An elderly man in Oklahoma calls his son in New York in mid-December and says, "I hate to ruin your day, son, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are getting a divorce. We've had 45 years of marriage, and that is misery enough for me." "Dad, what are you talking about?" the son yells. "I'm telling you, we can't stand the sight of each other any longer," the old dad explained. "We're sick of each other, and I'm sick of talking about this, so you call your sister in Hong Kong and tell her." Frantic, the son calls his sister, who explodes on the phone. "Like hell they're getting divorced," she shouts. "I'll take care of this." She calls her elderly father immediately and screams at him, "You're not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. You hear me?" She yelled it as she hung up the phone. The old man hangs up his phone, turns to his wife, and says, "Okay, it's all set. They're both coming for Christmas, and they're paying their own way." There is a fairy tale Christmas we all wish for, and then there's a reality of family and life. Just like that family and our family, this event tonight, the birth of Jesus, took place in a family. It has all the dynamics that does, whether it's a family based on blood and DNA or a chosen family. It doesn't matter. The dynamics are the same because humans are involved. Like that story, it can be complicated. This gospel says, "But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart." I've always been intrigued by that line. I've wondered about it. I've thought it interesting and in so many ways beautiful, but I've not done much else with them after that. This night, Christmas Eve, is the night we celebrate the birth of the human being, the person, the infant boy who would become a man, Jesus Christ. We center our eyes and our thoughts on a little baby lying in a manger as we gather around. It is a night in a way of innocent hope. Somehow, often on this night and in this story, we get just a bit closer to what seems like such a distant dream in the world we find ourselves living in now, a world where all people can live in peace, where we do not have hierarchies or inequalities. In short, a world where we truly see and care for one another. This year especially, I wonder, even though our focus is on Jesus, what Christmas would be without Mary. Do any of you remember Charlie Pride, that great country western singer, who I have to say my mother was absolutely in love with while I grew up in Arkansas? So I had to listen to him a lot, whether I wanted to or not. Charlie Pride had, like so many others, a Christmas album. The song that became a big hit on that album was "Christmas in My Hometown." But buried on that album was another song entitled "Christmas Without Mary." And of course, it was a play on the fact of Mary being the mother of Jesus, but in his song, as in every country song, it was about the heartache of being alone, of missing his love who happened to be named Mary. He croons in that song syrupy country western words such as, "Merry Christmas is not going to be Mary this year," and "Christmas without Mary will just be another silent night." Really, really goofy stuff. But I think that's exactly where I want to go tonight. Can there be Christmas without Mary? Pope Benedict once said, without Mary, there would be no church. Pope Francis said, Christians without Mary are orphans. If Mary had not said yes to God, there would be no incarnation, no Jesus, no church. And Mary, it says, treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. She treasured those words brought to her by the shepherds that this child just born to her was going to be something great, the Messiah, in fact. Any hopes of slipping away into a sleepy existence was probably not in the cards. And yet, those shepherds and everyone else all turned around and went home. The world went back to its business, and Mary and Joseph went about raising this child. In fact, the rest of the world, when it comes to this story we gather to hear and celebrate this night, got about a 30-year nap. 30 years, the in-between time, the entire gospel of Jesus that we know and reread and retravel all happened in about 3 years. There is 30 years in between what we celebrate tonight and those 3 years of the biblical Jesus. And in that time, Jesus was growing up. And all that time, I think of Mary, treasuring what was said to her in her heart and pondering those words for 30 years. When these prophecies from this night started to all come true, I wonder what her feelings were. I bring this up because I think we rarely think about that time and Mary's role at either end of these celebrations, the birth of Jesus and then the death and resurrection of Jesus. We forget there was a miraculous and loving time of formation in between that was shepherded by Mary, the in-between time where you and I live most of the time. The truth is, men are always the most important people in the story, this story, our salvation story, or I should say, men, mostly the writers of the story, make it so. Women, even in this story we celebrate tonight, have overwhelmingly been sidelined, if not belittled, and even maligned. Take the other Mary, Mary Magdalene. In history, she's most often been made out to be a prostitute, a notorious sinner, as if we aren't, when in reality, she was most likely a prominent benefactor of the community in which she lived, a remarkably strong woman. Protestantism really moved to sideline both Marys even more through rewriting their story or not telling them at all. I heard our presiding bishop recently preach about Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and he, as he does so well, rather whimsically asked, what if there had been a roll call at the foot of the cross? A roll call, you know, God calling the roll. Peter, absent. Andrew, absent. Bartholomew, absent. James, absent. Go through all the guys, as he said, all the brothers, they didn't show up. But if he had gone on, Mary of Nazareth, present and accounted for. Mary Magdalene, present and accounted for. In fact, it is believed there were many women at the foot of the cross that day. Scripture tells us that with him went the 12, as well as certain women. Now, of course, in Scripture, after the word woman or any mention of a woman, it would often be said who had been cured of evil spirits and ailments. One way to put them in their place. And then some of them are named, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Chusa, Susanna, and it says several others who provided for them out of their own resources. Provided for them out of their own resources. We miss that too. Mary Magdalene is now thought of as someone who had means. Some of the others did too. Could it be that women funded the movement? If it weren't for them, Jesus' roadshow would have never made it. Many believe now that Jesus traveled with about as many women as men, but of course, they are most often not mentioned. And continuing on that theme, Who were the first ones to the tomb? Who were the first to witness the resurrection? Mary. In fact, she had to run back to tell who? All the men. Who were where? Cowered in a locked room. And even with this so plainly in the scripture, the male writers of the Bible have managed over the centuries to make the women small, mostly inconsequential, and when necessary, as with Mary Magdalene, scandalous. In this age of hashtag Me Too and women finally being heard on a reality that we all know is far too real, and to which every man, including this one, must say we have been complicit in it to some degree, I should admit to the complicitness of our story. It's there. We have marred the importance of women, often kept them silent, belittled their role. We, the church, have done it too. You might say, but Bishop, Mary, the mother of Jesus, has been prominent, centered, even worshiped. Yes, but I would ask, what version? What version of Mary? Even in our hymnal, those hymns dedicated to the Feast of Mary use words such as, sing of Mary, pure and lowly, virgin mother, undefiled, subtly making her weaker. We might even say, utilized for a purpose. I would like to challenge that version. Jesus didn't grow up in a vacuum. He grew up in a family, and Mary was his mother, and we all know the impact that has for good or ill. When Jesus, after that 30-year formation, finally makes it onto the scene, he treats women radically different for the time. It was one of the things, historically, he was much hated for in his time, although that gets little play, too. We don't pick up on the ways he did this at times. Take Luke 13, for instance, when he cures the woman from a satanic spirit, and he refers to her as the daughter of Abraham, essentially making her equal with her male counterparts. It was quite common to give men honor by calling them sons of Abraham, but daughters of Abraham were unheard of. And in fact, this doesn't show up anywhere else in Scripture. I just don't think the human Jesus, the adolescent Jesus, the man Jesus, learned that all on his own. Mary had to have had a part in this. I see her in my mind's eye as a very strong woman who took those words she heard from those shepherds not as some fate that she had no control over, but instead as a call to her to form her son, to raise him, to challenge him, to live into those words, that prophecy brought to her by those shepherds on this night we remember and celebrate. She may have heard those words and thought in her mind, as most mothers would, well, of course. We don't know. But either way, what we are told is that she treasured those words and she pondered them in her heart, not just on this night, but for the rest of her life. This night, this story, our faith could not be without Mary. Without women. Yes, I apologize tonight for not giving you the beautiful, comforting, pastoral, sanitized version of Christmas that we have come to know. As I told the 7:30 crowd, I may take the back way out tonight. I hope I haven't ruined it for you, but I just could not let this one go. Because you and I will walk out that door tonight and live in the in-between time. We will live in what happens after tonight, after all the beauty and the hope of a birth that's supposed to change the world. It's very important for us to understand that this birth we celebrate every year and look back on is not just about that birth, that historical occurrence across the ocean on the other side of the world, but is instead a call for us, all of us, to be reborn. Because the change that is foretold this night will only happen now, through and by us. We cannot leave here and go and mindlessly run through the mundane days of another year expecting to come back here to Christmas Eve and have a miracle. The change happens in the in-between time. And it happens in and through each of us. This story is not there to make us comfortable and safe and satisfied. It's there to convict us to be better, to live better, to be bold and courageous, and maybe even a little bit radical. Like Mary, we need to treasure these words, this story. We need to ponder them in our hearts. Not just tonight or tomorrow, but every day. Mary didn't leave those words in a manger. She took them with her, inside her, and she lived with them, and she raised Jesus until she would give him away to the world. She carried those words, pondered them in her heart in the in-between time. There would be no Christmas without Mary. I want to celebrate her tonight. My sisters and brothers, I wish you a Merry Christmas. And my hope for you is that this story will live in you and you in it. This night, tomorrow, and all the days to come, so that the change God intended with this birth, this coming of Christ into our lives, might come closer to truth for all people, women, men, gay, straight, rich, poor, strong, weak. Treasure these words. Ponder them in your heart. Change the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.